Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team assist!
Good work done by Andrew Mason in explaining why Melvin Gordon was the Broncos' best option in that pivotal goal-to-goal situation that ended up resulting in a Melvin Gordon touchdown run. Plenty of Bronco fans asking, why was Greasy Fingers in at that situation? And at that moment, he had just had a case of the drop. Yes, you're making me turn against my guy. But I do like the Greasy.
I love
that. Even I, as a Melvin Gordon supporter, was wondering, what is he doing in there?
Right.
The guy had the major case of the dropsies, and yet, in that pivotal moment, first and goal at the 5, he carried the ball twice and scored the game-winning touchdown. So, Andrew Mason did a really good job of going inside the numbers. This is going to make Mark vomit, but here are the numbers. That since Javonte Williams joined the Broncos, Melvin Gordon has a much better success rate from the 3-yard line in than Javonte Williams. Basically, Gordon has a success rate of about 50%, whereas Javonte Williams is only at about 22%. So, Mark, this goes along with part of the reason why Melvin Gordon was here in the first place, that John Elway signed him to that deal, is that he was a touchdown hound in San Diego with the Chargers. That this guy has a knack for getting into the red zone that apparently Javonte Williams does not have. And that's why, even with the dropsies, Melvin Gordon was there. The numbers back it up. How do you feel about those numbers?
I think those numbers suck.
But they're facts. They're real numbers. Mace isn't making these numbers up. They're real numbers. And you know the Broncos are aware of these numbers.
I would like to know the context of those real numbers. Is everything equal? Because I would venture to guess it's not. I would venture to guess that there's less of a threat of there's more multiple threat when you're in there, so you're getting a softer box. I'd like to know what the personnel groupings are. Are the personnel groupings all equal? If they're not, then you know what? Those numbers don't mean diddly to me.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. I know how much you love analytics.
Yes.
You want to talk stuff rate?
What's a stuff rate? I hate numbers. I do.
Stuff rate is the percentage of runs that result in no gain or a loss of yardage.
That's nerd stuff.
Okay.
Williams' stuff rate is 20% over the last 2 seasons. One stuff every 5 attempts.
Okay.
Gordon is 15.6%, one stuff every 6.5 attempts.
Oh, great.
So he's got a better stuff rate.
You know what else he's got a better rate of? Of putting the ball in the grass rate.
Yes, Mason mentions that, yes.
Yeah, his putting the ball in the grass, it's like I said, his ball's on the grass more, or his ball's on the dirt more than dirt.
But there's got to be a reason. What ultimately is the reason that at that moment,
pictures.
Game on the line, he's got pictures.
He's got pictures.
He's got compromising pictures. He's
compromising pictures.
Of whom? Because there's a brand new regime since John Elway was here.
I can't think of any other reason.
New owners, new GM, everything, new coaches.
I don't know. I don't know what he's got. I mean, other than greasy fingers, I don't know what he's got, but he's got something.
All right, what else we got at denverfan.com? We have Three signs that the Broncos' offense is actually improving, courtesy of Cecil Lammy.
Okay.
Here they are. Run, 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 Russ, run.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we saw Russell Wilson show that he's still got that part of his game. That's one reason.
There's one. I wrote it down.
Run, fewer Russ. Penalties.
Okay.
Much tighter operation. We did not see the false starts. We did not see the delay of games that sets an offense back. Didn't have a bunch of holding penalties.
Right.
And finally, no shotgun near pay dirt. That's something you've been calling for. You hate shotgun down by the goal.
Another thing I hate.
Hate it.
We should list all the things I hate.
You hate. Boy, the world would be a better place if Mark Schlereth was in charge.
Right. All you, everything would make more sense to you people. You'd be like, okay, now I understand it.
You would not be talking about stuff rate.
Like stuff rate, that could be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
What bothers you more, stuff rate or spin rate?
Spin rate is really dumb. Spin rate is so... Yeah, but it makes the ball look like it's rising.
How do you feel about Rapsodo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. it's
do you feel like the Broncos offense turned the corner on the last drive?
I do. I do feel like there's some confidence there. And to turn the corner is probably too strong. That's probably a too strong... Like, turn the corner might be a little...
Whoa. Maybe you... Were you asleep in the first hour? Or did, do you not remember anything that you said in the first hour?
I watched a lot of film yesterday. I cannot. I was up. I watched Monday night.
Because you were so adamant about this that you actually allowed us to stop, reset... So that fever
collaborate
could,
and listen.
So that fever could record.
What are you, ice? What are you, Vanilla Ice right now? Stop. You allowed us to stop. Collaborate and listen. Mike is here with a brand new edition. Recording stink as he talks while he's sleeping. Let me tell you, peeping.
The only thing that would make that better is if Nikola Jokic was doing Vanilla Ice.
Stop, we must collaborate. Open the ears to listen. The Big Forehead is here with the brand new edition.
Do you have it, Fever?
I think this weekend, against the Raiders, there will be an offensive explosion somewhere between 24 and 36 points.
Are you not aware that you said that?
I do.
You now, said it twice.
Yeah, I do. I do now. Yeah.
That's turning the corner.
Well, I mean, is it turning the corner, or is it my lack of faith in the Raiders?
Well, still, that's still an offensive explosion.
That is an offensive explosion.
So you say it's going to happen this week?
Yes, it's going to happen this week.
Okay.
Yes, so yeah, I'm thinking they did turn the corner.
All right.
Corner has been turned.
I love it. I can't say that, because every time I say something or somebody has... Yeah. ETC, it's the complete kiss of death. Even I.
You have become aware of your incredible power.
Oh. Like, I laugh. Mike. I laugh it off whenever you guys give me the whole Jinxie Cat stuff. Yeah. I laugh that off because I don't have that kind of power. But whenever, seriously, over the last 20 plus years, whenever I have said a team or a player has TTC,
turn
I can't say it.
Corner.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an epic fail. It is the kiss of death. So I cannot say that. I have to use my powers for good.
Here's the deal. And I appreciate this about you, Mike. I do appreciate this about you. With much power comes much responsibility.
Correct.
And you are taking your responsibility very, very seriously at this particular point in time, which I truly, truly appreciate that about you.
At DenverFan.com, we have Sean Drotar writing about Pat Surtain and his ascension continuing after corner after he shut down San Francisco was only targeted one time. None of Deebo Samuel's five catches for 73 yards came against Pat Surtain. Nobody caught any passes against Surtain. Mark, the value of a shutdown corner.
Yes.
Now, this was debated when the Broncos used the ninth overall pick to take a corner. When you have somebody like a Pat Surtain, who nobody even throws to him anymore, and will probably throw to him even less and less, what is the overall value for that kind of player on the defense?
Oh, the value is huge because, one, you're eliminating one half of the field. Just saying goodbye to it. You're, as an offense, you're basically saying, we're not even going to test it. So, ultimately, you get to roll coverage and you get to move elsewhere. So you get to pick your poison in other places. Hey, man, in this third down situation, you know, Derek Carr's favorite target in the third down situation is who's the little dude that plays for them? That's
Renfro.
Yeah, Hunter Renfro. So let's roll coverage over there. Let's in and out bracket him. Let's up and down, you know, up, down, in and out, whatever you want to do. Let's throw a little bracket on him and take that away. Oh, well, wait a minute. It's Waller. In this situation, it's Waller. You know, they've run in these third down and six. Waller has been the target guy. You know, he's running that Y spot. So let's make sure we eliminate him off the line of scrimmage and make sure we kind of in and out bracket him. Whatever. Like, you've got options all over the place when one half the field is done. The value of that, I mean, I don't know where DMAC has it on the draft value chart, you know, because I'm sure it's low. I'm sure it's very low. And GMs get an F for drafting
guys
like that.
Look how stupid I am.
When you can take a guy that's, whatever.
You could take a guy who admitted himself that he played like trash the other day.
Yeah.
That's his words.
Mm-hmm. Coach, did Josh Allen... Oh, I'm sorry.
I know that sometimes when you talk about cornerbacks, it's tough to quantify what they're doing based on stats as easy as it is with offensive people. Drotar did a great job here. Here's some numbers for you. Despite Pat Surtain's covers being targeted 15 times this season, all right? So the guy he's covered has been targeted 15 times this year. Surtain has surrendered a grand total of 45 receiving yards on 8 catches this season. 36 of those 45 yards and 7 of those 8 catches came from DK Metcalf, who's pretty good. But if you remember that game, DK Metcalf made a very, very small impact on that game.
Right, a lot of those throws, too, were when you were in off coverage. So, I mean, you're sitting at, you know, 8-9 yards deep, and they just throw a little hook to a DK. You roll up, make a tackle for 5 yards, you know. I mean, it was one of those that you're saying as a defense and a coordinator, we're willing to give you guys that.
So check this out also. Surtain not only is a great cover corner, he tackles. Mm-hmm. He's a willing tackler. In fact, he's allowed only 5 yards after reception this season.
Yeah.
Yak, 5 yards. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks have a passer rating of only 63 against him, which would rank 32nd in the NFL. Pat Surtain.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. One more at DenverFan.com that I want to bring up. It is an article written by Alex. Jake Shapiro. Where did I come up with Alex?
Alex Shapiro.
Alex Shapiro?
I don't know
an Alex Shapiro. Anyway, Jake Shapiro. Sorry, Jake. Writing about Nikola Jokic, who was at Nuggets Media Day. Yes, the Nuggets are back. Media Day yesterday. And Nikola Jokic talked about wanting to be in Denver his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
Music to all of our ears, right? And here's who he wants to be. Here's who he emulates. I want to be the Tim Duncan of the Denver Nuggets.
Right.
But I do need a couple of championships to be him. But I like the city, the organization, like the people, so I really enjoy it here. I didn't want to change anything.
It's great. Johnny, do you have my sound? Do you have the sound that do you have that sound that that Nikola Jokic said?
Yeah, this was Nikola Jokic earlier.
Yeah,
today we had him on the show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
this was an exclusive. This is a Schlereth and Evans exclusive
with Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. The other shows may want to play this.
Yeah.
And react to it.
It's amazing what he said because it was poignant. Really good. I don't know if you guys remember it. Johnny's going to find it. This takes him a second. Got a lot of buttons, a lot of things open, closing, all kinds of stuff that you got to do.
Thank goodness, though, that he looks at Tim Duncan as the guy he wants to emulate, because the best hope for the Nuggets as a flyover city in the NBA that we get annoyed at here because the rest of the NBA world wants to go to great lengths to ignore us and ignore Nikola Jokic and make the case for anybody but Nikola Jokic to be the MVP. The one thing that you can do besides Nikola Jokic winning back-to-back MVPs that will force everybody to have to pay attention to the Denver Nuggets is to become the San Antonio Spurs.
Right.
And win multiple championships. Then you have no choice but to pay attention to us. Yeah. You must pay attention to us.
Then you have to play. When you have these unbelievable quotes and sound, you got to be able to play them. Johnny, let's go.
I wanted to be the Tim Duncan of Denver Nugget. Right. I need championship to be the Duncans.
Yeah, that was
that. What a quote.
You need championship to quote. Be the Duncans.
Listen, Zach Bye, I know you're a huge basketball fan. You have to react to this Nikola Jokic comment.
I just like that part, just the short one, where you to win championship, you have to be the Duncans.
Yeah. An exclusive, right here.
Right
you
here.
Heard it.
Only on Schlereth than ever.
There you go. It's
the only place he does stuff like this.
I need championship to be the Duncans.
So stupid.
I need championship to be the Duncans.
So stupid. This statement's probably going to freak out some Nugget fans.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
Some Nugget fans.
Okay, remember, let's not go TTC.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to say that. You think I'm a monster?
Every morning I look at you and think to myself,
I'm not a monster. Not a monster, but some Nugget fans who have spent their entire life never putting any expectations on the Nuggets and are fine with that. They're not going to like this.
Yeah.
But in order for Nikola Jokic to truly cement his NBA legacy.
Right.
To truly go down as an all-time great, clearly these MVPs aren't enough. Because you've seen to what lengths a lot of the basketball world has gone to try to discredit his MVP bids. Right. Even in a summer in which he is coming off winning two straight MVPs, various polls out there have been done, and what continues to come up, that he's not the best player in the game. That honor still goes to Giannis.
He's not, I mean, he's a lot of polls. He's not even in the top three.
Okay. So there's only one thing he can do and has to do to cement his legacy. He must lead the Nuggets to an NBA championship.
Correct.
I know that's, for some Nugget fans, that is just something you will not ever accept, that it rests on him delivering a championship. That the Nuggets have to win a championship for this to happen. It has to happen.
Yes.
It has to happen.
You're right. They have got to, not only do they have to go to a championship, they've got to win.
No, they have to win an NBA championship. Yes.
Because
with him being the NBA Finals MVP.
The back-to-back MVPs were begrudgingly given to Nikola Jokic. Most of the NBA people within the NBA, they wanted no part of giving him that award. All you had to do is turn on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody that's a basketball analyst, I mean, nobody wanted to to give that award. Like they were tripping over themselves, making excuses why he shouldn't get that award. You're right. To truly solidify yourself as the Duncans, you need to win a championship. You need to do what Tim Duncan did. That's right. Is lead the San Antonio Spurs as you think the Nuggets have been viewed as a flyover city. Where do you think the Spurs were back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Other than Iceman,
the Spurs.
Nobody even knew about the Spurs.
The Spurs were better known for Gilmore, right? Artist Gilmore and the Iceman.
That's it.
That's what they were known until they got the Duncans.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ginobili's.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got.
One more.
Yeah. The other guy.
Come on. Who is it? French. French. Oui, oui.
Tony.
Come on. Come on.
Parlez-vous français? Oh, what? Well, I could see his face, too.
Longoria. Come on.
Wee wee.
Yeah, he was married to Longoria
uh-huh.
for a while.
Come on. Tony.
Tony Stark.
Parker.
Parker, that's right. Parker is so non-French.
True.
It's such an English.
Yeah, you're right. Tony Parker.
Yeah.
Sounds like, you know, somebody from.
Yeah, from Castle Rock.
Yeah, exactly.
Tony Parker from Castle Rock.
Exactly.
I do.
Not. Tony Parker.
Yeah, it's not Pecky.
Well, what would be better? What would be a like better friend, like, last name
well,
for Tony?
I'm telling you, I just did the Washington game, one of their starting quarters from France or French Canadian, or he's something, but he spoke French growing up and he still has that, he still has the accent. Benjamin Saint Juche.
Wait a minute. Benjamin Saint
Juche? It's juice, but it's
juice.
When he says is it Benjamin Saint-Just, like Ajou.
Oh, like Ajou.
Yeah,
okay.
Ajou.
Oh, now you got me.
Benjamin Saint-Just.
Now I'm thinking about a prime rib au juice sandwich.
Yeah,
now
right.
You got me.
Like French fry.
So if his name was Tony Ajou?
Tony Ajou? Tony Saint-Just? Then I would have remembered.
Then you would have remembered. But Tony Parker.
Tony Parker's from Castle Rock.
Right.
I mean, nobody. Nobody's worried about Tony Parker. Tony Parker can't hit a three. A break. He can't even hoist it up there.
Oh, all right. There you go.
Yeah.
Woo.
Glad we got that covered.
You don't even remember things you said a couple of hours ago. We got to replay them just so that you're... Anything else, Fever? Anything else we covered in the 6 a.m. hour that we totally forgot? We'll get to that next.
You're going to need a bigger boat. It's time for Schlereth and Evans' big story of the day.
What? It's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big, 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 huge.
Yeah, today's kind of been like a leftover day. I love Tuesdays after a Broncos Sunday game because you got the immediate big story reactions on a Monday morning. But then you get a chance to kind of go a little deeper, like, why is Javonte Williams not getting the carries at the goal line instead of Greasy Fingers? I got to stop that. You have gotten inside my head. You're turning me against my guy, Melvin Gordon.
Why is
touchdown maker Melvin Gordon?
Why is Melvin Gordon your guy?
Because he's incredibly versatile. He's a football player who has earned the trust of quarterbacks and coaches that he's played with because of his willingness to stand in there and block and take on blitzers. He's incredibly versatile. When we were doing our film breakdown of Melvin Gordon when they signed him,
mm-hmm.
we were looking at different games, and there was one game where he was lined up in five different positions in a pass route.
Mm-hmm.
I think the backlash against him was they paid him too much. Really? What do you care about what they're paying these guys? You know, if it fits underneath the cap and it works, guy's been pretty. Is it because he's a former Charger that annoys you? I like him. He's been a productive player. He's been a productive player since he came here. Okay, sometimes he has some greasy fingers. I get it.
But here's what I understand.
But the one thing that continues to be shown, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. Who continues to be out there in the pivotal moments?
I get
Melvin Gordon, not right. Javonte Williams, the guy that was supposed to
take the baton from Melvin Gordon. It's still Melvin Gordon in these pressure situations. Got to be a reason.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't understand. I don't understand not making the transition to 70-30 or at least 60-40. It's still 50-50. And in those critical situations, you keep putting the guy in that puts the ball on the ground. There's nobody in the last 4 or 5 years to put the ball on the ground in the NFL more than him.
Through three games, Javonte Williams has carried the ball more than Melvin Gordon.
Okay.
He's got more yards rushing than Melvin Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
He has a better yards per carry average than Melvin Gordon by a solid yard. Oh, and he's also, Javonte Williams, is also Russell Wilson's second most targeted receiver.
Right.
And yet, when it was nut-cutting time on Sunday night,
yeah,
who was out there?
The guy that put the ball on the ground twice.
Yep.
Twice. What's it like? Seriously, I don't understand. I don't. It is so foreign to me. It really is. I just do not understand.
But yeah, you've also said from all your experience as a player, as an offensive lineman, you would acknowledge that some guys just have a better knack for getting into the red zone in those situations, and clearly, this coaching staff, the last coaching staff, felt that Gordon is a better option. He has a better knack. And the numbers also back it up. The advanced analytics that includes stuff rate.
Advanced analytics.
I love the texter. The reason's simple, Evans. Stuff rate.
It is. It's all the stuff rate.
It's all the stuff rate.
I got some stuff right for you. Yeah.
Folks, if you ever want to get under Mark's skin,
it's not hard.
Talk about his green chili, talk about his lawn and landscaping company, and mention analytics. You want to get under Mark's skin, imply that he has a landscaping company, or talk how much you love analytics.
You know what I did the other day? I aerated my whole yard. And then, Mike, I covered it in, I overseeded my whole yard, aerated, overseeded, and fertilized.
And
why would anyone do drugs?
The Holy Trinity.
Just mow a lawn.
Right. I did all that, and then, this was last week before I left. I left on Thursday, so this was Wednesday. And then the skies opened up. Glorious, glorious rain.
Sweet providence.
And it wasn't like that kind of rain that will wash the snow away.
No.
It's the kind of, this is the kind of steady,
soaking,
drizzly, or all that, like all those aeration holes, they're just going, drinking water. And that seed was just nestling deep into the soil.
There's no show in America that can make lawn care sound so hot as we can.
It was like taking a tired little baby. That seed was like a tired little, and wrap it in swaddling little clothes.
Jeez.
Just swaddle it in there, laying it down in its little cribby, and saying, nighty night, little seed.
Okay, snuggle up
in this warm little earthy hole.
I don't like to do this, but what are we talking about?
Everybody,
it is hot. Somebody crack a window.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody talk about lawn care. Yeah.
The other big takeaway from today.
Big takeaway.
Big.
Huge.
We had Brock Huard on. Once again, he reaffirmed Russell Wilson wants to be like Drew Brees. Russell Wilson, 6 foot quarterback. Drew Brees, 6 foot quarterback. Drew Brees played until he was 41 years old. Russell Wilson wants to play till he's 40, 41. The idea is to be able to evolve his game and become Drew Brees-like.
Yes. You yourself have said that you've talked to Russ, and Russ has talked about the quarterbacks that he studies, and the three guys he mentioned specifically, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees.
Correct. Those are the guys.
Do you see Russell Wilson being able to evolve into a Drew Brees-type quarterback? That's some lofty stuff.
Yeah.
That's a lofty, lofty goal.
I'm going to say no. I mean, I think he's already really good, but I just think that there's just going to be hard to not utilize your God-given gift of athleticism. And, you know, winning is so important that eventually you've got to be able to do that. And he did at the end of that game, and you saw the result. Like, it's like, Shakira, your hips don't lie. They don't. They don't lie.
I want to go into this more, because this is,
okay.
Heward knows Russell Wilson very well. He's seen the evolution, the transformation, sure, in Russ over the years.
He's been in Seattle for his whole career.
So if Russell Wilson wants to be Drew Brees, I want to get into that comparison some more, because all right, is it possible? And to do so, we got to take a closer look at Drew Brees, and we'll do that next. First, though, let's give you a chance to be part of the party of the fall. I can't tell you what it's about, though. It's hush hush. It's ultra secret. But we're giving you a chance to be there. Can't share any more details other than we're going to take callers 4 and 5 right now to win 4 VIP passes to this exclusive event. So that's callers 4 and 5. Do not pick up your phone. Put your phone down, Mark. You can't win. You're going, "Hi, I'm caller. Am I the right caller?" And Fever's going to be like, "No, next." Callers,
shut up!
Callers 4 and 5 right now at 303-713-1043. Good luck.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
In case you missed our conversation with our Russell Wilson whisperer, Brock Heward, from our sister station in Seattle, he once again reiterated Russell Wilson wants to evolve and emulate Drew Brees, become Drew Brees in the second half of his career. Can it be done? And he has admitted, Russell Wilson has, to you in a conversation, that of the few quarterbacks that he really studies, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. And it makes sense, because Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback, played until he was 41 and did so as a 6-foot quarterback with very little mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my biggest question about Russ being able to pull this off. Russell Wilson started off really as an athlete playing quarterback and grew and developed into a really good pocket passer. It's why he was able to join the then $30 million club, which was the going rate for elite quarterbacks, and now he's in the, you know, $40 to $50 million a year club. But Drew Brees, here's the big difference, Mark.
Yeah.
Drew Brees was always just a pocket guy.
Yeah, he never had escapability.
Nope. I'm going back. I'm looking at his college stats, going all the way back to his time at Purdue.
Oh.
Drew Brees at Purdue threw for 12,000 yards and didn't run it that much.
Mm-hmm.
He basically averaged about, you know, 2 yards a scramble.
Right.
But he was always a passer, always a pocket passer. And then after a slow start to his NFL career, he got hooked up with Sean Payton. The rest is Hall of Fame history. But he always was that type of guy. Russ is trying to become that kind of guy. Can you do that?
I think you can always, like, it's the 10,000-hour rule. You can always become better. You can always evolve your game. You can always... But again, one of the things you have to be able to do during that, Mike, is you've got to pick your spots. And I think that was one of the valuable lessons from week 3 is I'm going to do this. But at some point, it becomes yarble cutting time. And at some point, I got to go help us win a football game. And so I'm okay with making that decision. And he did, and he scrambled around, and he made some plays. And the thing about Russ that I think is unique is that he has always had the ability to scramble, and he's done it quite well. But Russ is one of those guys that's just avoided the big hit. You know, the hit that becomes devastating, the kind that makes you get skittish in the pocket. And, you know, we've seen those quarterbacks that they've taken such a beating that they start to see ghosts. Their mechanics start to speed up. Heck, I did a game last week where the Washington Commanders gave up 9 sacks. It starts to speed you up, and even when you have a clean pocket, you know what ended up happening to Carson Wentz? Threw a bunch of errant balls. You know why he threw a bunch of errant balls? Because his mechanics sped up, which means what? I got to get it out of here, right? And instead of staying behind the ball and driving the ball, you're like, you're loose. So you open it up, you know, your arms, you don't keep your front side closed. Your arm, your front side flies open, your arm gets long, and all of a sudden you're sailing balls over the heads of wide open wide receivers. Why? Because I sped up my mechanics. Why? Because I keep getting hit, and I don't want to get hit no more. That's what happens, Mike.
Somebody brought up, well, Russell Wilson had a 70%, 72% completion percentage coming out of Wisconsin. True. True. But that's college. Do you know that Tim Tebow in his 4 years at Florida routinely every year was between 65 and 70% completion percentage? In college, Tim Tebow, 65 to 70% completion percentage. If that doesn't tell you how college offenses are rigged for quarterbacks, I don't know what does.
Right. That's why I always like, well, there's nobody that's had a higher completion percentage than Baker Mayfield.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Everybody's all right. That's how I got on Baker's list.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, forgive me for not being impressed. And then I had a bunch of Oklahoma fans. They were very much like Tebowites. Oklahoma fan. Yes. They did not like me. That's how I posted. That was the original posting of my 3 Super Bowl rings on my one hand.
Oh, it started there?
Yeah, because some lady was, just vitriolic. He's the Heisman Trophy winner. He won a Heisman. What have you ever won? That's what she wrote to me. And that's when I just posted a picture of 3 Super Bowl rings in my one hand.
That's become a go-to for you.
Yeah, I was like, let me think. What have I won? It's an interesting question.
So you've shared your 3 Super Bowl rings with Oklahoma Sooner fan.
Sooner fan. Yeah.
Jets fan.
Jets fan.
Giants fan.
Giants fan.
Bengals fan.
Bengals fan.
Anybody else? Eagle fan back in the day. Eagle fan.
Yeah, Eagle fan. But Eagle
fan. That
was
more of a Chip Kelly thing.
Yeah, it was a Chip Kelly thing. But Eagle fan, the thing I like about Eagle fan is they will turn on the Eagles in a heartbeat.
True. Good
right?
point.
Like, if you say something that's true about Giant fan or Giant, the Giants, and but they don't like I can, they're like one of those that I can tell you what I think is wrong, but you can't.
Right.
Right? Eagle fan will just be like, they can be mad at you, but they're like, yeah, you're right. Come on, jump on our bandwagon. Let's cuss our team. Like, that's Eagle fan is very, they're very interesting that way.
Somebody asked a question. Isn't stuff rate how Evans measures success at a buffet?
Ooh.
Brad in Denver?
That's a great question.
Good question. Stuff rate.
Stuff rate.
Yeah. It's not a good buffet experience unless I have a high stuff rate.
A high stuff rate. If you don't have to unbutton your pants after you've eaten at a buffet, that buffet did not have a good stuff rate.
Somebody asks, good question.
Okay.
Because as you know, we're giving away these VIP packages to our
secret party.
Secret party. Somebody asks.
Do you have any idea what the secret party's all about?
I have no idea. No idea. I can't wait to be there. Find out what the secret is. Somebody asked.
You were going just because they said you don't care about the secrets. Well, you care. You said it's free food. You're looking at stuff right.
Here's the little promo I'm supposed to read.
Okay, I'm here.
An awesome chance to be there live for what will be a truly unforgettable night, including free food.
Delicious.
Winner, winner. Chicken dinner.
You had me at hello.
You had me at hello. Here's one. Here's a question.
All right.
Will Mark's floozy sister-in-law be at the fan secret VIP party? I don't know. You started talking about... You started talking about, for those who missed it, the Pro Bowl is going away. Or at least the Pro Bowl game. And it's going to be replaced by a skills competition. So Mark started talking about how to improve the Pro Bowl and said, make it a winner-take-all. And he started talking about, you understand then, all these players, and you just start going through the litany of had to bring their wife, had to bring their family, had to bring their freeloading brother-in-law, had to bring their floozy sister-in-law, who just hung around the players' hotel in a bikini in the lobby. And I started to get a little uncomfortable because I almost think that you were relaying your own experience.
No. So, anybody who knows me knows how much I love my in-laws. God rest both their souls. I love my in-laws. So, I was very tight with my in-laws. So, anyhow, anybody knows, I had a guy, and I'm not going to give you a name, but I had a guy that complained. All he did was complain. Like, he complained about the family, and not only his own family, mostly his wife's side of the family. And he called them one, he called them all sponges. Just over there sponging, getting anything you can do, free meal, you know, he's got it. You know, and he would just complain and complain. So every time the Pro Bowl rolled around or, you know, we went to Super Bowls or whatever, this guy was the bane of his existence. And so I was channeling my inner...
Whoever this person is.
Yes, this person is. Because he just would get himself... And it was so easy. He's one of those guys you could just get worked up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you could just go, man, I can't believe you. Like, so-and-so came over the other day. Like, or my mother-in-law was over the other day. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me tell you about mother-in-law, you know? Mm-hmm. And you could just easily work him up.
Freeloading brother-in-law?
Yo, yeah. You could easily...
Really? Okay.
Easy.
So no personal connections for you. This was just some other. I have a friend.
No, that
who
I told you, man. I love my in-laws.
All right,
I love, but yeah, that was.
All right, so sorry, there is no slutty sister-in-law that will be there.
I do know my wife does not. My wife has six brothers.
Okay,
but my wife does not have a sister.
Did Poolside ever make it to the Pro Bowl?
Oh yeah, Poolside. Poolside, absolutely. My Pro Bowl experience, Poolside was there, my in-laws were there. I brought everybody.
By the way, I hope you don't, but congratulations to Poolside.
Yeah.
He just
announced his retirement. He's gonna retire in October.
Yeah. After
56 years as a State Farm insurance agent.
That's amazing. And he's been working, he's how old right now?
83.
And he's still working.
Every day.
Every day.
Goes to the office every day.
That's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations to Poolside. We are done. Players Club coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.